Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom or great peace have those who love his Torah, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into his Torah for this week. We're going to get into this week's Torah portion. You know, we are in the book of Exodus. We are about halfway through the book of Exodus. So we are in the story of Yahweh pulling his people out of Egypt, or you could say he has redeemed his people, Israel, out of Egypt from a life of slavery, of heavy bondage, and he is bringing them to the land that he has promised unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for the purpose of them to be able to worship him in set apartness, to be a light unto the nations of the world so people will see them and want to praise and give worship unto Yahweh. So that's actually something that we're going to highlight in this week's Torah portion. So we are in Exodus chapter 18, and we're going to start with verse 6. And when he sent word to Moses, this being Jethro, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that Yahweh had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way, and how Yahweh had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that Yahweh had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, "Blessed be Yahweh, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that Yahweh is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So here in this passage, what we're pretty much reading is Moses has come out of Egypt. He has led the children of Israel. They've gone through the Red Sea. They are now in the land of Midian. This is where Moses, when he had fled Egypt, when he had killed the Egyptian, this is where he fled. And this is where he would meet Jethro's daughter, and he would marry her, and he would have two sons there. And it was while living in Midian that he had the encounter at the burning bush, where Yahweh calls Moses to go back unto Egypt to deliver Israel out from underneath the hand of Pharaoh, underneath the Egyptians. So Moses leads the people. He is now back in the land of Midian. And in verse 1, which I did not read here, it actually says that Jethro had heard all that Yahweh had done for the children of Israel. So in this passage, when they actually meet face to face, we see these two men, they go into a tent, right? And they ask of each other's welfare. This is the time of, I haven't seen you in a while. Hey, tell me, what's up with you? What's going on? Let's catch up on things in our lives and so forth. And Moses goes on to speak of the great things that Yahweh had done for Israel. He speaks of the plagues. He speaks of how Yahweh had delivered Israel out of Egypt the night of Passover, how when they spread that blood upon the doorposts of their homes, that angel of death passed right over their home and no death came unto that home. How while that was going on, they were able to grab their stuff and just walk out of Egypt. Now remember, Egypt was a stronger and they were a mightier nation than Israel was. He had an army, he had chariots. Israel didn't have any of that stuff. They were outmatched when it came to having warfare with Egypt, which makes it interesting in the fact that from the very beginning of reading the story of Exodus, how Pharaoh feared Israel. That was because Yahweh put a fear of Israel in their heart. So as they come out of Egypt, he tells them of how they come to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh has changed his mind, and he now is chasing after Israel, and they are cornered there at the Red Sea, and they have no place to go, and Pharaoh's army has surrounded them, and how God just splits open the Red Sea, and they're able to march right through the walls of that Red Sea on dry ground. And as they get across, and after they cross over, when the Egyptians pursue after them, the waters come back down and they drown Pharaoh's army. He speaks of how the scripture tells us of how when they were on the other side, they could see the dead body of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore on the other side. They saw the deliverance of their God. They saw the mighty works of how he fought for them, how he delivered them from an enemy that was stronger than them that they could not take on their own. And now Moses is before his father-in-law Jethro, and he is proclaiming the wonderful things that God had done for him and Israel. That is how we need to be as people. You know, one of the first things that we need to do and be able to do is to take time and reflect, take moments in our life and look around and look and see the things that he has done for us, not to take for granted the things that occur and happen in our lives on an everyday basis. Some things can seem so small, but some things can be even larger and bigger. But being able to have our eyes open and our spirits in tune to see when he has done great things for us, so we can proclaim his goodness and his greatness to those around us. We can speak of how he delivered us in situations, how he provided for us in situations, how he brought help to us in certain situations. You know, and it's our ability to be able to see those things and to be able to speak of the wonderful things that he has done for us to those around us. So we can be like Moses, who when he sees his father-in-law, he can't help but boast and brag about the things that God had done. Notice, Moses isn't in there telling Jethro, man, look what I have done with these people. I brought these people out of Egypt. I brought them across the Red Sea. Man, you'd not believe all the things that I've done. No, he says all that Yahweh had done. Because Moses knew that everything that he was doing was not on his ability or capability. It was all by the hand of Yahweh. And we see in verse 9 what Jethro's response was to hearing of the wonderful things that Yahweh had done for Israel. In verse 9, it says that Jethro rejoiced for all the good that Yahweh had done unto Egypt and how he had delivered them. So Moses starts off praising Yahweh, speaking of the awesome and wonderful things that he had done. Now his praise is going to become contagious. Now it rubs off on Jethro. Jethro has now heard of all the wonderful things. Now he is filled with joy. You know, our attitudes and the attitudes we choose to have are contagious. If we decide to become a person of joy and to be a person of praise and to speak praise, and to speak good things, not to be negative, not to be downcast, not to tear down, but to praise it, to lift up, to rejoice. That spirit can be contagious. And those around us can catch that spirit of praise as well. And that's what we see here with Jethro. Jethro catches that spirit of praise that was on Moses. If we could be that way, if we could be like Moses, where we can't help but proclaim the goodness that Yahweh has done for us. We can't help but praise him at all times to anyone and everyone, no matter who they are, no matter if they are a believer or not. You know, tradition here would say that Jethro, before this meeting, was not a believer. Tradition would say that this was the conversion. They called this the actual conversion of Jethro. And you could say Jethro was converted not because Moses came and proclaimed a message that if he did not repent, he was going to hell. He was converted because he heard the message of hope, of praise. It was Moses' praise, his joy, his rejoicing that converted Jethro. And so Jethro would enter into the praise as well. Verse 10, he says, "Blessed be Yahweh." So he's praising him. He's blessing Yahweh now. This is where they say the conversion. Jethro before this was considered a priest of Midian. So that is what tradition would say, is that he was a priest of the false gods of the land of Midian. And now he has heard of the wonderful and awesome things that Yahweh has done. And he knows that hearing what he has heard, that the gods that he has worshipped in the past could never bring about a deliverance or a work that Moses' God has done. And because he sees that, he believes, and now he knows that Moses' God, Yahweh, is greater than all gods. That's what it says in verse 11. "Now I know that Yahweh is greater than all gods because of the way he dealt with the Egyptians, because he delivered Israel from the hand of Pharaoh." When we speak of the things that Yahweh has done for us, of how he has defeated our enemies, what he has delivered us from, the bondage he has delivered us, the sin that he has delivered us from, whatever addiction or sin that you were trapped under, when we can speak and boast of the fact that he has delivered us from those things, it was by his power, by his spirit working in our lives. It wasn't by us. It wasn't by our strength. It wasn't by our might. It's nothing we could have ever have accomplished on our own. It was done by his spirit living inside of us. When we can boast about that, then the hope is that people can be as Jethro, that their eyes can be open and they can see that there is one out there who loves them, who desires the best for them, who wants them to live in peace, who wants them to live in joy, who wants them to walk in completeness and soundness of mind and to be whole in body, spirit, and soul. He desires to bring a healing to the body, to the soul, and to the mind, to restore all that this world has stolen from them, all that has been broken and hurt and destroyed from what they have experienced so far in life. There is one who desires to heal them, and he is capable of doing that. All we need to do is be a people who are aware of the things that he has done for us, and be able to speak of those things in the right manner, to where when people hear that and we praise him and we rejoice in him, that they will catch that spirit as well, and they will see that there is a God, Yahweh, who sent his son Yeshua to this earth to die on the cross for their sins, to forgive them of all of their sin, to cleanse them of all of uncleanness, so that he can have a relationship with them, so he can restore unto them and bring healing unto them. He is merciful and kind and desires to deliver them as well. And that's the hope, is that when they see our joy, they see our peace and our rejoicing, that can bring a conviction into their hearts. Because we see in verse 12, what does Jethro do after proclaiming the praises of Yahweh? Now he's actually going to bring a burnt offering or a sacrifice unto God. So this would be the conversion of Jethro. Now let's look at Psalms chapter 96 and verse 1. He says, "Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But Yahweh made the heavens." So here the psalmist is telling us this should be our desire. This should be our instructions each and every day. Each and every day we need to sing a song unto Yahweh. Sing a new song unto Yahweh each and every day. Let your hearts rejoice in what he has done for you. Find the thing to rejoice over and rejoice each and every day for what he has done. Bless his name and tell of his salvation. Tell of how he has saved you. Tell of what he has done for you. Telling of his salvation is proclaiming and giving praise unto him just as well as singing a song unto him. Just as singing a praise song unto him, it is just as powerful to speak of his good works and of his salvation. It is both bringing praise. And we need to do both. We need to sing of his praise and we need to tell of his salvation. And to tell of his salvation goes into what it said in the next verse. To declare his glory among the nations, among all the peoples. You need to tell of his salvation unto someone. Speak of what he has done for you. Speak of his goodness and of his greatness. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. Don't be afraid. But allow his spirit to move. Be filled with his spirit. Be filled with boldness to speak of his goodness to all the peoples. Remember, Yeshua, the Great Commission, what does he tell us? Go into Jerusalem, go into Judea, go into Samaria, and into all the parts of the world. So we are to go into the nations of the world. We are to speak of his marvelous works, of his goodness unto the nations. The nations are in his heart. Even from the birthing of Israel, even though he had one nation as his people that he gave his Torah unto, that he set apart from the rest of the world, even in this concept, in his wisdom, in his thoughts that are much higher than ours, he still had a heart for the nations in that. And as I had spoken of before, because Israel was to be a light, they were to be a people who were walking in his ways, walking obedient to his Torah, loving him the way he wanted to be loved, worshiping him in the way that he told them to worship him, and then loving each other as he instructed them to love each other. Because when we love each other the way he tells us to love each other, according to his Torah and the instructions, his law he has given us, it sets us apart from the rest of the world because we will do things that other people just will not do and they have no desire to do because it is contrary to our flesh. It is contrary to our natural desires that are within our body that we were born with because our flesh, our desires are contrary to his desires. So when we walk obedient to his word, we're walking contrary to our desires, and it puts us walking contrary to how the world is walking, and it sets us apart. And his desire is that when the outside world looks in and sees us doing what we're supposed to be doing, It is to be a magnet unto them. It is to draw them in. If we're not drawing people in, if they don't look at us and they're not drawn in, then we are not doing something correctly. We're not loving each other the way we should be loving each other, and we're not loving him. We're not proclaiming his goodness, speaking of his wonderful works as we ought to. Are we filled with his joy? Are we filled with his peace? Do people look at us and see that is a person who is complete? That person has something. To the world, they can look at it and say, there's just something different about that person. I don't know what it is, but there's just something too about that person that draws me unto them. And then as we begin to speak of his goodness, then they can begin to see what it is. And then the hope and desire is that they will have a response as Jethro. They would have a conversion as Jethro had. Let's look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. As he, Yeshua, drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Yeshua of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Yeshua, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Yeshua stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Yeshua said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now, first thing I want to say here is, we see two different type of people in this passage. We have a blind man who's sitting on the roadside begging for money because he's blind. He needs money. Yeshua's coming by, and this blind man knew. He had the faith in his heart to know that Yeshua could heal him of his blindness. So he begins to cry out unto Yeshua. But those who were around him weren't concerned about his condition. They weren't concerned about the fact that he was blind. They had no compassion for him. They had no desire to help get Yeshua's attention so that the blind man could be healed. Instead, they wanted to prevent him from receiving his healing. They told him to be quiet. They tried to shush him. They actually became a hindrance or a barrier to him for receiving his deliverance. But what does the blind man do? He persists. He doesn't give up. He cries out even more. Yeshua hears him and stops and heals the man of his blindness. Yeshua had compassion. Yeshua has compassion for us. He has the compassion for the nations of the world. He has compassion for every hurting soul out there. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring deliverance. And we, as followers of Yeshua, need to be filled with that same compassion as well. We don't want to be like these other people who are standing along the road, telling the person crying out for help to be quiet. But we need to be people who are out there helping people find Yeshua, to find the compassion and the mercy that they need from Yeshua. And what does it say after he has received his sight? It says, all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So those who were around and saw the work that had been done gave praise unto God. So Yeshua told us that we will do the same works that he did. He has given us his Holy Spirit. We can pray for those who are sick and they can receive a healing. We can pray for the blind and they can recover their sight. And the purpose of this is not to bring attention unto us. He has given us the anointing and the gifts and the ability to perform signs in the name of Yeshua, so that the name of Yeshua would be glorified. So that when people see the work done, they will give praise unto Yeshua. I think of the story of Peter in the book of Acts when he's going into the temple and you got the lame man who is there laying at the temple begging for money. And he said, money I do not have, but what I can do is I can heal you. I can allow you to walk. And he heals him in the name of Yeshua. And immediately the lame man gets up, proclaiming and praising God. And what does Peter do? He immediately tells everybody, this is the work of Yeshua. He brings the praise and the glory unto Yeshua, so that all those around them began to praise Yeshua. In fact, it was such a movement, so many people were praising Yeshua because of what had done. The religious leaders of the time, the Jewish leaders, got nervous and tried to shut Paul up. He has the same desire for us. He has given us the anointing and the ability to perform signs and wonders, to lay our hands on the sick and to see them recover, to bring glory unto his name, for the nations to give praise unto his name. And that's what we need to be about. We don't need to be afraid to pray for the sick, to lay our hands on the sick, to lay our hands on the blind, to lay our hands on the lame. Because we need to be a people who are filled with faith and belief and know that the signs is one of the tools that he has given us to point people unto himself so that people can see that he is not like the other gods of this world, that there is no God like our God. He is the one true living God. It is a sign unto them. And then when they see that work, when they see that happen, they can give glory unto God. Now let's look at Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, being Yeshua, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And when he fell on his face at Yeshua's feet, giving thanks, now he was a Samaritan. Then Yeshua answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Let's be like this one Samaritan, who when we are touched by God, when he reaches out to us and he shows us compassion, when we experience his healing, when we experience his deliverance, his provision, his forgiveness, let's be the one who is grateful, who gives him our praise, who gives him our thanksgiving unto him for what he has done. This Samaritan returned back unto Yeshua when he saw that he was cleansed, and he gave praise unto him. The other 9 did not. Let's not be like the other 9. Let's be like the Samaritan. Let's be a people who are full of praise, giving him praise and speaking praise about him. Now, the last verse you read in our first passage, we talked about how Jethro had brought a burnt offering. So he spoke of praise regarding Yahweh. So we've talked about how we need to be a people speaking praise, proclaiming the wonderful things that he has done for us to the nations of the world. But he also brings the sacrifice. So I want to end this teaching talking about the sacrifice. You could say the last stage of Jethro's conversion, when he actually brings the sacrifice unto Yahweh, where he brings more than just the bulls of our lips, as Hebrews calls it. You know, when we speak forth praise, it's like that animal that they burned on the altar. We don't do animal sacrifice. We don't do that anymore. But when we speak of praise, it is as that incense. When they burned that animal on the altar and that smoke rose up into heaven, it was a pleasing aroma unto Yahweh. That is what our praise is. It is as that bull that is on the altar, that is burning and that smoke is rising up, and it's that sweet aroma. When we give praise, it is a sweet aroma unto Yahweh, is a sweet smell in his nose. But there's also something else that we need to do beyond just the praise of our lips. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So our worship goes beyond just us giving praise. It goes beyond just our proclaiming his goodness, but it's also our bodies are a living sacrifice. That means that what we do each and every day can be a sacrifice unto him, or it cannot be a sacrifice unto him. When we are conformed to this world, then our bodies are not a living sacrifice that is acceptable unto him. But when we put aside our former behaviors and we put that stuff aside and we are no longer conformed to this world, but we're transformed into the image of Yeshua, where we walked just as Yeshua walked, when we walk in obedience to his commands, to his Torah, what he has instructed us to do, we renew our minds by his word, by his Torah, giving us a new way of thinking, a new way of new desires, allowing our minds to think and to be aligned with the Bible, with Scripture, more than the customs and the ways of this world. And then as our minds become more conformed or transformed by Scripture, the more we are able to discern what is the will of God, the more we're able to discern what is good and what is not. And as we walk in obedience to his word, we are that living sacrifice. So he desires both. He wants us to walk in obedience to his word so that we can be that living sacrifice unto him. Our lives then become a sweet smelling aroma in his nostrils. And he also wants the praise spoken from our lips. He wants us to speak of the wonderful things that he has done. He wants us to proclaim those things to the nations. Well, I hope that this has blessed you. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So come back now and join us, and shalom, y'all.